You're listening to the Lovish Podcast, and I'm your host, Dr. Sita Hood, vision architect and licensed therapist. Each week, I'm going to help you to develop the belief and strategy necessary to make an immediate impact on the world by deep diving into topics like mental wellness, faith, relationships, and you guessed it, love. I should mention before we hop into the show, this is not a substitute for a relationship with a licensed therapist. You ready? Let's get it. Welcome back for another episode of the Lovish Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Sita Hood, vision architect and licensed therapist. How are you doing today? What's in your mug? What's in my cup is the remnants of the coconut coffee that we've been sipping on for this summer. That has just been my drink of choice lately. What about you? What's been your drink of choice? I haven't seen many of you commenting down below to let me know what's in your mug or tagging me on social media to let me know what's in your mug. What's in your mug? How are you feeling? Before we jump into today's episode, I want to give you as a listener a heads up on a big change that is coming to the podcast. And that is, drum roll, please. I'm changing the name of the podcast. So I decided to change the name of the podcast to reflect more of what the content has been about and to call to attention the woman that I'm talking to for these podcast episodes. When I started this podcast, it was out of one, obedience to God, and two, we were talking about half-hearted versions of love, love-ish, okay? And all the things that come with that, mental wellness, faith, relationships, and love. And while we do still talk about those things, I think there's been a major shift in the podcast and the content that I produce with the podcast. So yes, we're still talking about that, but it's on a much higher level. And so if I'm being honest, it took me some time to figure out the direction to go in for this podcast and the direction to go in for my consulting company. Because yes, I'm a licensed therapist. I have my practice. I know who I see, crisis and trauma clients, but it took me a while to come to the niche, as they say, of who I'm talking to with my consulting business, the Million Collective Inc. And I'm talking to executive women. I'm talking to women in leadership. I'm talking to ambitious women. And I think when we describe a visionary or an executive woman, you think only of this one aesthetic, of this one picture, this one way that it looks, and you maybe don't feel like you fit into that category. But if you are an ambitious woman with a goal, a dream, if you create impact, if you care for people, if you tend to be a leader in certain spaces, that's who I'm talking to, boo. So I probably will not change the name officially of the podcast until our anniversary month, which is August. So at the end of August, that's when you'll see all the branding and stuff switch over, and I will reveal to you the name of the podcast. But we're still going to be talking about all the amazing content, all the amazing topics that we still talk about now, which is like ambitious women in leadership, a guide to walking in purpose, establishing high quality friendships as this ambitious woman with a busy schedule, all the topics that you know and love that have drawn you in and why you are a faithful listener. You're going to get more of that. So just a quick announcement. When is the last time that you checked on your progress for your goals? When is the last time that you actually hit your goals? Did you stop to consider what it was that helped you hit those goals? Well, there was likely a habit or a pattern that was woven into your life that helped you hit that goal. For example, I was headed to the gym this morning and I had a little bit of car trouble, so I couldn't make it. And then I decided to go for a run, right? And that took a lot because I didn't really feel like working out to begin with. And during my run, I received a total of 5 phone calls. Okay. So again, first of all, you know what it takes to muster up the strength to like push through. Yeah, I'm still going to go for a run. Yeah, I'm still going to work out, blah, 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 whatever. And then to get the phone calls during the workout, to be disturbed when you're like in the heart of a run. Like, obviously, those people didn't know that I was out for a run, but I could have easily chosen to stop and answer the phone and stop the workout, right? But the point being, the only thing that made me finish the run strong was because this is what I do. I am a runner. I am a person who loves physical fitness and working out because I know the positive impact that it has on my mental health. Over the years, I've formed habits to contribute to my overall well-being. A habit is a pattern of behavior. Of course, we know that habits can be positive or they can be negative, but they all serve a purpose. They're all meeting a need. So the habit either pushes you towards your goal or pushes you further away from your goals.
Hey, hey, aren't you tired of running around like a chicken with your head cut off? How many times have you promised to do better with your wellness routines only to let life get on top of you again? I want to invite you to pause and pour by downloading my app, The Lavish Haven, your sanctuary for cultivating daily wellness. It's completely free to use. You'll start with our pause and pour quiz and then access our signature daily and weekly wellness trackers, mood playlists, elevated emotions collections, scripture-based guided audios, and so much more. Hit the link below to start today.
We need habits to keep us on track with life stuff. When we don't feel like doing something, the very thing that keeps us on track is our habits. If you haven't read the book Atomic Habits by James Clear, then that is a book that you will definitely want to check out. In James' Clear book, he teaches you how habits, like money, compound over time. So even if you just work on one seemingly small task per day, but you were consistent with that thing, you would start to see a dramatic change over time. Successful leaders, they got habits, y'all. I think, again, when we hear that word leader, it's like, oh, she's not talking to me. Because people who are in leadership, sometimes if you're not an arrogant leader, if you're like a compassionate leader that is in it, you know, for like heart reasons and you care about people, you don't actually see yourself as a leader, you know, because again, you think that you're supposed to fit a certain aesthetic or a certain financial bracket. And yes, sometimes that's true, but it's not always a correct way to measure leadership. So truly, the only difference between you and the people that you see as successful is one small difference. Lean in, and I'm going to tell you what it is. They don't stop. They don't stop. They decide to keep going. Even when they face a problem, they figure out a solution to the problem. And even if they have to hire somebody to help them fix the problem, that's still them actively going out to seek a solution for the problem. So if you're in one of those situations, because I hear clients say this all the time where it's like, well, I feel bad because I didn't solve this problem. I had to get somebody else to do it. That was still you solving the problem. Because if you never got somebody else to do it, the problem wouldn't be solved, right? And then I even talked to somebody earlier today who was saying, like, I feel like I'm a bad mom because, you know, I'm not showing up for my kids right now. I'm in this bad place. I'm like, but you're still a good mom because a good mom makes future plans for her kids. Meaning that if she's not in a good space and doesn't have the capacity to give her children what is needed at the time, then she owes it to those children to say, hey, I need a couple of minutes to myself or an hour to myself. Go in the room, close the door, and get herself together mentally rather than inflicting emotional damage on her child or physical harm to her child or everything else in between because she's not in the headspace and she doesn't have the capacity to parent. And so the same remains true about those people that you deem as successful. The only difference is they chose not to stop. They chose to solve the problem. They chose to figure out how to solve the problem and get back to the mission. So if that looks like you pausing and taking a second to reset and then circling back around to the mission, then that's what you got to do. So leaders do this by establishing habits to keep them on track. When everything feels chaotic, habits bring a sense of normalcy. Habits help to keep your eyes focused on the end goal. So let's talk about the five habits that you need to be a better leader. And this is not to say that you're not doing this right now, because you could be doing this right now. And if you are doing some of these things right now, then just let this serve as your reminder to maybe improve in these areas. Okay, here we go. Risk taking and decision making is going to be habit number one. You have to be willing to cultivate a habit of calculated risk taking and then make a decision. No risk, no reward. Low risk, low reward. I know that we have probably all heard that. And if you haven't heard that, then you really have to consider what that means for you. You are the only person who knows the impact of the risks that you decide to take or decide that you don't want to take. You can't be all in just making crazy decisions all willy-nilly, but you also shouldn't be afraid to get your feet wet and to take some medium-sized risk. So some of the best things in life happen because you took a risk, right? For example, I want you to think about that relationship that you're in, right? You took a risk when you decided to trust another person, to be in a relationship with another person. I want you to consider the friendships that you've established. That was a risk to open yourself up to do that, right? And so I have a formula that I teach in my programs to help you assess the risk of a situation so that you can just make a decision to do the thing or not to do the thing. Not staying in the land of indecisiveness, but proactively making a decision. Because again, if you chose to date somebody after a bad breakup, or find a way to make new friends after you had bad experiences with old people that called themselves your friends, that was still a calculated risk. So the basics of this formula is weighing the consequence in connection to the risk. And these are a couple of questions that I ask my consultant clients when we work through this. Would you recover? If you make this choice, would you recover? Because we often have this all or nothing belief system. If I do this and I fail, then I'm done. I'll never be able to recover. And the reality is, come on off the ledge, sweetheart. That's probably not true, right? So this question gets you to think a little bit more realistic. Would you recover? How long would it take you to recover from the risk if you decided to take it? Who is impacted when you make this decision? Because we can't just think about ourselves, especially if you are an ambitious woman that is tied to a marriage, a family, a company, like you're in a corporate position, or you are an entrepreneur yourself and you have employees that work for you. You can't just make a decision without considering other people. So again, would you recover from this risk? How long would it take you to recover? And who is impacted by the decision that you make? You can start with those questions. Number two, the second habit that you need is forward thinking vision. If you want to be an effective, notice I did not say perfect. If you want to be an effective leader, you have to be committed to growth. Okay. Innovation requires a growth mindset and not getting comfortable with where you are. Like, sure, you can be comfortable with certain elements and, you know, if something is working, by all means, yes, keep it. But you also have to be committed to growing, to advancing, because the world is advancing and technology is advancing. So if a thing is not working, let's go back to the drawing board to figure out how we fix it. And it's also about being willing to think long term. So forward thinking vision, like Yes, the people who work in this company might see the company today, or you might see this app for what it is right now, but I have forward-thinking vision, so I'm looking at what it could be in the future, how I could build upon it in the future. Now, maybe I have some roadblocks that are stopping me at this time, but it doesn't mean that I can't overcome them. I don't have a solution yet, but again, I've committed not to quit, and I'm persisting through the problem. And I also am using forward-thinking vision to do this. So keeping that in mind, a good leader has clear vision that includes aligned goals for the company. Whether, again, you're in corporate or whether you're the CEO of your company, you have to be willing to adapt. Habit number three, guilt-free maintenance. Come on, you knew it was coming. You knew it was coming. We talk about wellness all the time over here, honey. Everyone knows that when you get a new car, you should be intentional about the maintenance for the life of the car. The more you invest in the car, the better it runs, and the more you get out of the car. Now, it might be annoying to go get an oil change, a tire rotation, all these other little things, switch out the filter, etc., and that can get expensive, but at the end of the day, it's in your budget, ain't it? You added it to your budget, right? Why? Because you want your car to last. So why do we feel guilty when it comes to maintaining our bodies? Why is it hard to set aside time to do things that might initially feel tedious, but you know when you get done, you are gonna feel so good. You're going to be in a much better position than you were before when you do that thing. So guilt-free maintenance of yourself is important, because if you're not firing at all cylinders, you're not the most effective leader. And you can't fire at all cylinders when you're not properly rested, mentally and spiritually sound, when you're not in a good place financially. All those things prevent you from showing up as your best self, and they all impact your ability to lead. Wellness brings balance, stability, and longevity. I want you to think for a second about Target and Starbucks. They invest a lot of money into their company's marketing budget, into the ambiance of the stores, to learn about their target customer, their ideal audience, and to get into the psychographics of that person. They want to know what that person is doing when they get off work. What type of music does that person listen to? What type of environments are they generally attracted to? And so many other aspects. They invest in the quality of their products. And why? Because you get out of a thing what you're willing to put into a thing. And they know it's an investment in the seemingly small things, but that investment is for the longevity of their company. So keep that in mind. Your wellness is not optional. Guilt-free maintenance. Okay. And habit number four, authentic communication. You increase your credibility when you are authentic. Authentic communication is a vital element of being a good leader. People need to know that you're going to do exactly what you say you're going to do when it comes time for you to be in charge. One of the reasons why we have so many problems with elected officials is because they tell you one thing when it's time to vote, baby. You be like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to change this and I'm going to change that. And then sometimes when they get in office, you don't really see any movement. And it seems like they've abandoned the things that they told you that they were committed to doing when you voted for them. Your communication should also acknowledge who you are at your core. That's true authenticity. I mean, I can only imagine what it must have felt like for Barack Obama and his family when he was president and there were so many restrictions, so many things that they couldn't do that maybe were placed on them, especially as a Black family in the most coveted position ever, a family in a White House and they in charge. Okay. But one thing that I can say is that they were still very true to their roots and their personality as Black people while they were in the White House. From the outfits that Michelle served, honey, and Michelle, Come on, don't play. You know Michelle served. All you got to do is Google Michelle Obama outfits and you're going to see how sis served on us, how she gave us the Black woman excellence, okay? From the way that she dressed all the way to former President Obama, the way that he spoke, it was authentic. We didn't have to second guess their character. They didn't come into the White House and pretend to be something that they were not. They were wholeheartedly Black people, and you're gonna get how Black people act, period, poo. Okay, the final habit is fostering diversity and inclusion. And diversity and inclusion go well beyond race, and it's important. Obviously, race is part of that, but diversity and inclusion means that you're willing to see everyone's unique gifts, not just the people that you like, not just the people that don't get on your nerves, not just the people that you're fond of, but you are willing to look at your team as a whole. You're willing to look at your employees as a whole, the people you manage as a whole, and see their individual gifts. And sometimes, as leaders, you can miss world-class ideas that are sitting right in your face because you're stuck on what somebody's front-facing position looks like. What do I mean by that? Maybe you work at an office where, again, there's a certain aesthetic and pumps and pencil skirts and flowy blouses are like a thing. And maybe there's this one chick and she wears corduroy pants in a dark dookie brown and a burnt olive green sweater. She got glasses and natural hair when the vibe is like flowy long hair for most of the women in the office, and you judge her by the way that she looks just because she don't got on pumps, a pencil skirt, and a blouse, and you think shorty is not really about anything. But in reality, that girl got world-class ideas in her head. So fostering diversity and inclusion means including people. Obviously, it also means looking at people that are differently abled and really leaving room for innovation in your team. Paying attention to the diverse needs of others also helps you to become more empathetic. You become well-rounded in your approach to solutions because you've opened your eyes to all the angles. So you're trying to find a solution that works for everybody, not just one person, not just the person who fits the aesthetic of the pencil skirts and the pumps and the blouse. No, you want everybody to feel supported. And that is how companies remain innovative, because they allow, you know, people to come in with different ideas. So if you want to be a better leader, you can actually start working on these habits right away. And if you take the James Clear approach, that means that you are committing yourself to at least one of these tasks. And if I had to suggest a habit or a task to start with, I'm going to say guilt-free wellness or authentic communication are really good ones to start with.
It's time to talk about what I've been loving. Product recommendations, shout outs to family and friends, and overall gratitude. Let's get into it.
I've been loving connecting with other creatives in the online space. I'm in the process of transitioning all of my programming from one platform to another. And I've been connecting with other creators who use this new platform because they have a community space that comes with it. And there is truly nothing like the connections with people who understand you and understand what you're dealing with when it comes to business ownership. Now, this can for sure apply to so many other areas, but I am specifically talking about life as an entrepreneur. If you enjoyed today's episode, share the love. Share with your mama, share with your auntie, share with your best friend. Then head on over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star review. Reviews help the podcast to grow. Well, that's all I have for you this week. I'll see you out in these social media streets. Bye.